deaths of David Palmer, Tony Almeida, and Michelle Desler. They were friends of mine.
That's the way it works.
Jack, Logan doesn't confess. How far are you actually willing to go?
As far as I have to.
Welcome to 24 Under Review, your one-stop shop for all things 24.
Now, let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Hello and welcome to 24 Under Review, Episode 5, reviewing the hours of 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Firstly, if you didn't catch it on Fox, next week, or this coming episode, will be a two-hour premiere, or a two, not a two-hour premiere, a two-hour event, I guess, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain Standard. I don't know what Eastern and Pacific, but it just starts an hour before usual. So this is what usually is the mid-season double dose. Last year it was episodes 10 and 11, this year it's 8 and 9. Please send us your feedback at 24underreview.com. Also, check out 24boards.com, the one place to talk all things 24. Now, people have definitely been slacking with their posts. We had one post this entire week, other than my two posts, and that was Mike from Two Guys Talking 24 posting that his episode was out. And lastly, we have a little bit of news at the end, so wait for that. And we'll dive right into today's episode.
Previously on 24.
Tom convinces Karen that he has evidence that can show that she tried to bury some papers involving the release of Fayed, along with five other terrorists that were considered to be safe now. Karen goes to the president, and after a little bit of trouble, she resigns. Waleed is in a detention facility where he has been hanging out with some suspected terrorists, and after they figure out he is spying on them, they beat him up. Jack is at Graham's house interrogating him, and a location in Simi Valley turns up, and it appears to be McCarthy's office. Once at the office, Jack's father is there, and after a little bit of talking, we see Graham take control of the men. Evidently, he was paying them, and they turn on Jack and Graham.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m.
The White House is watching a news report on the nuclear bomb, which is basically regurgitating what we have already learned. Tom walks into Wayne and starts a conversation about Karen's resignation.
I just heard about Karen's resignation. Sorry for the loss.
Are you really sorry, Tom? Because your words seem somewhat hollow to me.
It's no secret Karen and I butted heads the last few weeks. Nevertheless, I respected her as an adversary.
She never gave me a concrete reason why she resigned, but there was something. Something she wasn't telling me.
This may have something to do with it. This is a draft of the executive order I presented this morning. Karen found out I was going to resubmit it to you for your authorization.
And so she quit. That makes absolutely no sense to me, Tom. She's never been afraid of a fight.
Well, maybe she finally realized her arguments are invalid and that this is the only possible response to the danger we are facing.
You want to tell me why I would sign off on something that I rejected 6 hours ago?
Because, sir, 6 hours ago, we didn't know Fayed had nukes.
Even so, Tom, you're talking about suspending habeas corpus, expanding the length and broadening the criteria for those detention centers. Those actions would constitute a brazen abuse of executive power.
Those actions will degrade Fayed's network, limiting his ability to make use of these remaining nuclear weapons. Sir, Fayed's sole intention here is the destruction of our country, its infrastructure, social order, entire way of life. And he has got the will and the means to make good on that threat.
Tom, have you stopped to think about the fact that I would be forcing the people who elected me to give up the rights and freedoms that define the essence of this country?
Sir, if one more nuke goes off, it will have been Fayed who has redefined our country.
Thank you.
ask us into the cabinet.
We'll convene in 30 minutes.
Be right then, Mr. President.
Wayne congratulates the man that's been fighting with him this whole time, Reed, on their success, and he mentions that although it was hard to get Karen out, it was the right choice. They talk for a few seconds after that, but nothing important happens. Bill calls Karen, asking for her to talk to the president. When Karen breaks the news that she has resigned. After she hangs up, Bill redials, and then she looks at it and just ignores it. Chloe informs Bill that Jack and the teams with him have not been answering the phone, and Bill orders her to send an extra field team. Back to Jack, who is in the blue van talking to his father about what has been happening, and Jack's father mentioned that he tried to get him out when he was in China. The car now shows up at what looks to be a quarry with a cement truck sitting there and its chute pointing right into a big hole that is obviously for the bodies of Philip and Jack. Two things to point out there. First, when there is concrete in the drum of the truck, it's spinning so that the concrete doesn't harden. And second, when there's concrete in the truck, the wheels on the back are down so that it will spread the weight out over some more ground. So just little things that they're not striking home on, so I don't know what that was about. But back to the content in the episode. When one of the men tells them to get on their knees, Philip turns around and tells the men to at least have the guts to look him in the eye. And then Jack makes a move, taking the man behind him and shooting the other man with the guy's gun, elbows the dude in the face, and he falls down unconscious. And then Philip shoots the guy right in the chest. Jack reacted a little bit harshly. He aimed the gun at his father, and then his father came up with the BS response that he was going to kill them. Yeah, I'm sure the defenseless man unconscious laying under Jack is really going to kill them. That's when I started getting a few suspicions about Philip. Jack calls Bill and tells him to send field teams to Graham's house because he's bad. And then he tells them what they figured out and how Graham has been holding stuff back. Philip grabs the keys and tosses them to Jack, who immediately hops in the van. Now back to McCarthy, where his girlfriend Rita is going to get a snack in the lobby. When she tells him that she's leaving to go get a snack, he kind of gets a little panicky and tells her she's not allowed to go get a snack. And then we see him call Fayed, and I did notice on the screen the CTU logo, so that's when I started figuring out that the engineer was someone from CTU, and I had a few ideas, but we'll talk about that later. While on the phone with Fayed, he tells him that he will have the man to him within the hour, which once again is false, as we learn later. And then he goes on to tell him how he will not do it by choice and he'll have to be coerced. After the commercial break, Nadia informs Bill that the NSA picked up a call and one of the people has the voice print has been confirmed to be Fayed. They listen to the call, and then Bill is told that there was also an image intercepted, and Morris is writing a salvage utility to recover the image. Jack pulls up at Graham's house, well, a few blocks away where the TAC team is, and he talks to the guy, and then they move forward. Inside, Marilyn tells Graham that he is a lousy liar, and he has always been. Josh comes in and tells them to stop fighting. That is all they ever do. Just then, the door is blowing, and Jack is heading the charge. After a few seconds of having Jack's crosshairs pointed at his face, Graham drops his gun. Jack tells Marilyn what has been happening and why they are treating Graham so roughly, but nothing new is revealed, of course. Although Jack does say he knows she can't believe what's happening, and then she says that she kinda can, although she didn't know exactly what. Josh and Marilyn are told that they're going to be taken back to CTU, and Burke sets up Graham in his big office that he has already been interrogated in, and then Jack walks in and does a light interrogation compared to what will happen in a few minutes.
I panicked, Jack. That's all there is to it.
You panicked? That's your excuse. You panicked? You tried to kill me and our father.
I was backed into a corner. I was just protecting my ass.
You knew about a tactical nuclear weapon on American soil. You were responsible for the death of thousands and thousands of people.
I think I really wanted that bomb to go off, Jack.
I think you knew more about McCarthy than you told me. How do I find him?
I don't have a clue.
How do I find him?
I just told you I don't know.
There are four more bombs out there. This isn't a joke, Gray. Tell me now, how do I find McCarthy?
I told you everything I know, Jack.
Respiration and temperature pattern indicate deception, especially his last reply.
Set up the interrogation package.
Milo pulls Chloe out of the main part of the office into what looks to be one of the corners of the room, where he tells her that Morris's brother has been transferred to the Horizon Hospital with severe radiation poisoning and is in critical condition. Milo tells Chloe that they shouldn't tell him until they're done with the salvage utility because it will impede his work, but Chloe convinces Milo that it's the right thing to do, and she goes and tells Morris that his brother has been injured. They talk a little bit, and then Morris makes the remark, "What was he doing in Valencia?" That's my question, and later we'll learn the answer. Just like Milo anticipated, he tries to leave and go to the hospital, but Milo and Chloe convince him that he has to stay until they get the photo. Bill informs Jack that they have intercepted a picture and are decrypting it so that they can figure out who the programmer is. Jack then sees that Burke is done prepping the interrogation and goes in to interrogate his brother Graham.
CTU just confirmed that McCarthy is looking for an engineer for Fayed. They're gonna arm the nukes.
Then you're wasting time talking to me, Jack.
You're holding something back. The machine doesn't lie.
It must be broken because I told you everything I know.
That's how you see Penethol. A neuroinflammatory designed to induce pain. What you have to do to stop me from using it is tell me how to find McCarthy.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Two CCs. Experience of pain I can't even describe. At 8 cc's, I run the risk of inducing heart attack.
Ray, make no mistake about it. I will go there
if I have to. Please, just tell me what I need to know. Please, I don't want to hurt you.
Are you sure about that, Jack?
Please, Ray, just tell me what I need to know.
How do I find McCarthy?
Do it. 2 cc's. Damn you.
4 cc's!
That's NCC's total, Jack. His vitals are spiking across the line.
4 cc's! The machine knows you're lying! I know you're lying! Tell me the truth! Tell me the truth! It has nothing to do with McCarthy. It has to do with Palmer.
David Palmer.
Yeah. I gave the order for his assassination. And you told me Almeida, and Agent Michelle Dressler, your co-workers, they're all dead because of me. I arranged everything. I set the timetable. I paid off the killers. I even lured you out of hiding to take the fall. Today wasn't the first time I've tried to have you killed, Jack.
Why?
Because I love my country! And the real world, sometimes that means you have to do things, terrible things, even unforgivable things, for the sake of your country. But you know all about that, don't you, brother? We're the same. I mean, look at me. We're the same.
We are not the same. You want me to kill you?
Do it.
I'm gonna do it my way. 4 more cc's.
I can't do that.
Pick up the syringe. Do it now. Son of a bitch.
You there's somebody in here now.
You want to die? Drop your weapon. Drop it.
You're gonna die.
Shut it down.
Jack looks up and sees his father there at the end, and that's why he stops. And when he says shut it down, you see Burke slide this little device that stops the fluid from flowing in the IV, which it's kind of hard to explain, but it cuts off the flow by compressing the tube. So that'll come into play later here, but then we go to Wayne and, well, Sandra first, who's talking to Waleed. Waleed is ashamed that he spied on the men, but Sandra comforts him by telling him that it was the only thing he could have done. Sandra then receives a phone call from Wayne.
Get some rest, okay?
Sandra, it's Wayne. I just heard what happened to Waleed.
I am so sorry. Is he gonna be all right?
Yeah, I think so.
What they told me is confusing. They said Waleed was working undercover to expose some plot.
There was no plot. The men weren't part of any conspiracy. They were just bystanders.
Tell me these men had information about the nuclear weapons.
One of the men pulled it from the internet and showed it to his friends.
Sandra, they should have reported that.
They were afraid they were gonna get into more trouble than they're already in. Most of these men were pulled from their jobs and their homes on trumped up immigration charges.
And now they're facing deportation. Wayne, you are detaining without due process the people who's helped you meet the most. How do you expect
for them to help if they don't have any legal protection?
Wayne. I'm scared.
I know. Everything's gonna be all right.
Back to Morris, who reports that the program he has made is finished and it doesn't show anything other than the original blurred up photo. So he is downloading an unlicensed program to jumpstart it. Milo raises a few objections, but then he finally says it's fine. Jack briefs Bill on what has happened during the interrogation, and it sounds like he's thinking Graham has confessed everything he knows, but Philip doesn't seem to think that, and we'll hear that later. And Bill tells Jack that there is a helicopter 4 miles away at an elementary school. Jack goes over to talk to Graham, where his dad says that he's sorry for Graham because he was raised by such a bad family and didn't deserve it. Kind of odd, huh? Bert comes to Jack and tells him that Graham will be ready to transfer or move to CTU in 10 minutes. The application that Moore has downloaded is working and the photo should be clear enough to identify in 10 minutes. And with that, Morris leaves. Now to Air Force One, where the Vice President is on a video conference with the rest of the cabinet and soon to be President Wayne Palmer in the room.
Congratulations, Tom. It's an excellent plan.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Vice President.
About time someone in this administration stood up to these people. To be honest, I didn't think this president had a stomach for the cure.
Well, I think we're about ready for kickoff here, sir. I'm going to put you on speakerphone.
Is the Vice President with us?
I'm here, Mr. President.
I'm assuming everyone here has read Executive Order 1066.
Tom first proposed his plan to me very early this morning.
And I rejected it. Sacrificing the rights and freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution seemed like too steep a price, even for the promise of security.
But then Fayed murdered
12,000 innocent Americans with a nuclear weapon. I felt compelled to revisit my earlier position. After careful reconsideration, I remained convinced that my initial response was in fact the right one.
That implementing this plan would be a terrible mistake. Now I
cannot and I will not endorse these actions.
Some of you seem to feel
that the Constitution is somehow valid only during times of peace, but not during wartime.
That is not what the Founders intended.
With your indulgence, sir, George Washington's enemies wore bright red coats and marched in a straight line. The Founders could never have conceived of a stateless enemy hiding among us. The target's not our soldiers, but our civilization.
Your plan would only hinder the efforts of law enforcement to stop Fayed.
How does my plan hinder law enforcement, sir?
By marginalizing and thereby
radicalizing the very people whose help they need to enlist. The American Muslim community is our
best line of defense against these terrorists. But we Americans need to demonstrate
that we are governed by the rule of law and never, never by the politics of fear.
Mr. President.
Yes, Noah.
Before you make any unilateral decisions, maybe you should hear some other people's thoughts.
I'm sorry, Noah.
The discussion on this matter is over.
Evidently, Morris overestimated, as it only took 4 minutes for the picture to be identified, and it's who I guessed, Morris. Bill calls Jack and tells him. In the meantime, Chloe is calling Morris. When Morris picks up, they patch the calls together, and Jack tells Morris he needs to come back, and he says he can't do that. When Bill explains it, when Jack explains it, then he happily says, yeah, I'll turn around. Just then, McCarthy pulls up in his truck, hops out, and shoots 3 rounds into the passenger seat, and Morris gives up. And then McCarthy calls Fayed and tells him there in 15 minutes they will have Fayed to Morris. It's 10 minutes and Graham hasn't left yet. What's up with that? Isn't CTU supposed to be on top of things there? Philip asks for a few minutes with his son and is granted it.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Everyone thinks Jack is so tough. I mean, he is. And so am I. It's nice to know that I can take anything he can dish out.
You told him about Palmer.
Yeah, I had to give him something to make him think I cracked. I kept you out of it.
It's gonna get a lot worse. He's not finished. He knows you didn't tell him everything.
And I won't. You know I won't, Dad.
They're gonna take you to CTU. They'll do things there that'll make this seem like a cakewalk.
Like I said, I can take it.
I'd like to believe that. Problem is, I have to be sure.
Well, you can be. I'll hold my mud, Dad. Everything's going exactly according to plan. Jack bought the ruse.
Oh, I know. I'm sure we convinced him that you were gonna have me killed as well.
Yeah. That makes me the bad guy and you the good guy. I take the rap to some time, you skate free. Get me out when you can. Meanwhile, the company lives on. Dad, stick to the plan. That's what you've always said, right? Make a plan, stick to it.
Sometimes you have to make adjustments.
I would never betray you, Dad. I love you.
I love you too, Graham. You've been a good boy. Done everything I asked. Only this time, I asked too much. Sorry.
Dad.
My son's had a seizure! Get in here now, hurry up! What happened? Is he gonna make it?
I don't know. Please, give us the room so it can work. Get CTU medical now!
This is for we need medical.
My God, if you people killed my son, I swear, you're gonna regret it for the rest of your life.
First of all, there, for a few minutes, they may think that it was their drugs. Well, it was their drugs anyway, but their administration of the drugs that killed him. But an autopsy would, of course, prove that instead of the 8 cc's that they had given him, he had 16 or 20 cc's, so they would know something was up there. I don't know how they wouldn't notice the empty syringe right next to it, and the IV was open. I mean, there's just so many flaws in his little plan there, and I think that they will figure out next episode that he was murdered by someone not other than in CTU. Well, that's it for the... When we return, we will have some other stuff to talk about. Well, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, there was only one real post other than mine, which was Mike Wilkerson from Two Guys Talking posting that their review of this episode is out. So you can find that over at twoguystalking.com-24, I think. If that doesn't work, just check out twoguystalking.com. The other thing is that I'm getting some new stuff installed on my computer Tuesday and possibly all the way through Thursday or Friday. So we expect and hope to have that podcast out on regular schedule, which is Friday. But if it's not out by then, rest assured it will be out on Saturday. So we're sorry for the little delay you'll get there. And lastly, our fan base is definitely growing. We have been getting pretty good download numbers, so many that we've had to create two different feeds or two different hosting accounts so that we switch off each episode to spread out the bandwidth over a couple different locations so that Once one goes over, we still have another to use. You guys won't notice any changes because I edit the RSS feed that you're pulling, so it knows where to look. And that's about it for this episode, and until next time, enjoy.